1212, I go by the name of DJ Wedding. You're now listening to the original Geek Podcast. Let's go!
Ready to make an entrance, so backward!
Cut.
Slow down. Whoa, speed up.
Fresh.
Making me it.
What up, Geeks? I am the original Geek, and my name is Rockin' Mr. Magic, and welcome to a special bonus episode of the Original Geek Podcast. Today, we are going right into it because this was a pre-recorded episode that was really me ranting on a Twitch stream previously discussing my review of The Batman. Yes, the three-hour Robert Pattinson, Jeffrey Wright film. Why am I forgetting Denise Huxtable's daughter? Zoe Kravitz, John Turturro, Colin Farrell, and the rest of the cast of The Batman. So here is your, if you have not seen the movie, here is your official spoiler warning. Everything you hear me say from here on forward is going to be a spoiler for The Batman. You have been duly warned. I hope you enjoy it, and I would love to hear what you think of The Batman. What do you think of my review? If you think I'm being too fair, if I'm being too tough, if I'm being too lenient on this film. I would love to hear what you think either in the Geek Nation Facebook group or in our Discord for Geek Nation. Did you ask me what I thought about Batman? You did not. And I did not go, I did not make it into the theater to see it.
Okay, time's up.
But I did watch it on HBO Max.
Have a nice evening, Sherlock. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
And I had, oh man, I failed. I had problems with Batman. I had some problems with it. Well, frustrated I didn't solve this crime, but I went into, despite the fact that I was very disappointed in with the casting of Robert Pattinson, you know, I wanted to give it a shot. I wanted to, you know, give it its due diligence because, you know, I have no problem with our Pat. I know he's a talented dude, and so I had no problem. You know, I had no problem with him as an actor. I just don't think he's right for that role. But again, you know, with everything I'd heard about the movie coming up, you know, as it was coming up, I understood it was supposed to be like a year or two, based off of kind of based off of the year one comics and off that premise. The amazing other members of the cast, particularly Colin Farrell and Jeffrey Wright and John Turturro, had me very excited. Things that were great. Matt Reeves did a good job. Matt Reeves did a very good job in displaying a lot more detective level things, elements compared to previous Batman. I can add some real quick scenes. Batman is a lot more talk about the Flash. Ezra Miller, talented dude. Apparently, he's lost his mind. I feel bad for him. I could just say is, you know, as a fan, if you like Ezra Miller, you know, pray for him.
Turn on the lights.
You know, whatever, you know, whatever you do, you know, whatever you do, however you do it to try to help people or, you know, pray for them or people send vibes, good vibes, whatever. Just, you know, send, you know, whatever you can his way. He needs it. I can't pretend to know what's going on mentally. But Ezra Miller, all I know is that he's not in a good place right now. But with
life's funny
with Batman,
I lost my job because of androids.
Like I said, Matt Reeves, good job with the detective stuff.
To take care of this goddamn house. What do? I go out and hire a fucking
android. I thought the story overall itself was, yeah, he was a terrible cast before exactly. I thought the story overall was good.
Fucking wonderful.
I thought Paul Dano did an excellent job with what he was given. John Turturro killed it.
Sad.
Jeffrey Wright did what he always does, and he did the role.
Perfect. Ruined my fucking
life. I wasn't thrilled about changing Jim Gordon's race, but if because
what's your fucking problem?
I think it changes too much of the character.
Not the life you dreamed of, eh?
Pardon me, but. From what they showed and what they did, easy. You know, Jeffrey Wright, he, as an actor, he's such maybe a great see, job just turning into the character. His speech pattern was very reminiscent of the grumbling type of speech that that Gordon portrayed in, like, the Batman animated series, for example. So that was really cool. And Jeffrey Wright, he's a chameleon. He can turn into anything.
Fucking fuck!
Amazing. Look, this Kool-Aid crack wearing smoking just hit his kid. Android, kill him.
Come back here right now.
Yes! Those were the good things about the movie. Some of the cons, in my opinion, and these aren't just movie cons. Some of these cons are
fucking lesson.
Where Batman is in certain books. Emo Batman was the worst. Just this, the dark circles, the hair in the face, always looking sad and depressed.
Don't you dare fucking move. I'll bust you worse than last time.
Emo Batman was just. It's not good. I don't like emo Batman, especially, I shouldn't say emo Batman, emo Bruce Wayne. I have been saying for years, and I'll continue to say it until someone actually shows it to me.
Shit about how I felt.
The mask, the real mask of Batman is not the cape and cowl. The mask is Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne is the mask. The real person, the real identity is Batman. The mask that hides, that makes the entire thing work, is Bruce Wayne, the rich playboy philanthropist.
It's all her fault!
Pausing the game, Termy. That's the mask. Bruce Wayne. And when he's out and about as Bruce Wayne and he's sad and he's crying and he's gloomy and all that stuff, it's easy to see who Batman is. Because he looks exactly the same. He's speaking exactly the same. Like, it's just, yeah, the true mask wasn't displayed. And we haven't seen the true mask really be displayed in a film or really even television outside of the animated series. Obviously, it's easy to do that animated than live action portrayals. But haven't seen it. I don't know why I said the detective things were good and much, but they were better than others, which is a plus. But there is some con to it, or some con to the pro, because there were multiple scenes in this Batman where you know, since we've got the game pause, let's switch up a little bit here. So there's multiple scenes in The Batman where Batman and Jim Gordon are just having the same conversation. And they're, you know, because they're together and like, well, Jim, do you see this? What do you think? I don't know, Batman. It's a clue. What do you think of this clue? What do you think this clue means? Well, it's a riddle, and the riddle means this. So what do you think it means? I think it means this. It's got something to do with rats. Yeah, rats. That's the clue. Oh, look, here's a greeting card with my name on it. Let's read it. And that happened like four times. So that was a bit repetitive. As great as Colin Farrell's portrayal was, I don't like this mobster penguin. That's not Colin Farrell's fault. That's really not even Matt Reeves' fault. I mean, he included it, but he didn't come up with the mobster penguin. That's something that has been done in the books recently to make him sound more like a mobster. I prefer Eloquent Penguin. You know, the super educated, super intelligent, you know, aristocrat level penguin. That's the penguin that I love. So I would have loved to see that penguin, because even though some of these films, they want to be dark and they want to be gritty, they want to add a bit of realism, it's still a comic book. We're still talking about comic book movies here. We're still talking about fantasy. So bits and pieces of that over-the-topness, I think, keep it enjoyable. So I would have loved to see Colin Farrell speaking as the eloquent aristocrat penguin instead of this mobster penguin. That's me. Let's see. I had a problem with the Riddler in that I know, again, I know it's a different interpretation, but this Riddler was not very Riddler. He was too much like Heath Ledger's Joker, in my opinion. And they did too many of the hits like Heath Ledger's Joker, especially when, you know, they catch him and he's sitting in, you know, in being interrogated by Batman and at the police headquarters. Like, you know, I've seen this before. I've seen Batman yelling at the crazy person who's been killing people and, you know, and doing the angry yell. Like, I've seen that. I don't need to see that again. It was still, though, there was this too similar. I didn't like the fact that the Riddler's riddles weren't very riddle-like. I would have liked them to be, the cipher part was cool, but I would have liked them to have a little bit more cheekiness. Again, they didn't have to be super campy like, you know, Frank Gorshin's 1966 Riddler, where they were all like, you know, essentially dad jokes, like, you know, what happens, like, I'm a big fan of the 1966 movie. So, like, one of the riddles from that film was, what does a turkey do when it flies upside down? And the punchline is it gobbles up. So, like, it doesn't have to be, you know, a joke like that. It doesn't have to be a riddle like that where it's virtually a dad joke. The riddles didn't need to be like that, but they need a little more, a little cheekiness to them, a little fun to them to really highlight the madness. Because what it was like, he reminded me of too much like of Heath Ledger's Joker and too much kind of like Saw. Like, I think comic book villains, especially Batman's villains, because they seem to always have these slightly lighter parts to their characters for the most part. Even the darker ones, obviously, like Joker. But Riddler, extremely intelligent, extremely, you know, crazy and manipulative and, you know, and devious, but also has a sense of humor. And I would like to have seen some more humor within the riddles that they did. And you could have mixed those riddles into continuing to break down the cipher. So I just thought there could have been a little bit more humor there. Zoe Kravitz's Catwoman to me was very underwhelming. I was extremely underwhelmed. Nothing Zoe did was bad in my opinion, but it was underwhelming. Everything that was twisting or different about her Catwoman was story related, as far as her being the daughter of Falcone and, you know, wanting to save her friend. And I understand it's supposed to be year two Batman, but that mask was stupid. It was just that whole half. I don't know what that mask, like, no one who's going to be doing any type of cat burglaring, and with the tools she had, she clearly had done it before. So this is not like she just went on some mercy mission to save her friend with those tools to break into a safe. She had done that before. So if you're a cat burglar and you're highly skilled, you're not going to have some half a stupid mask like that when you're going out to steal something. That whole mask she had was just crap. Jay, you saw you somewhere the director wanted to pay homage to Heath Ledger's Joker. Yes, I didn't hear that, but that makes sense because the Riddler was way too much like Ledger's Joker. Oh, absolutely, the movie was too long. Yes, movie was too long. Especially since Batman died like 3 times. Movie was too long, definitely too long. There was a lot of things they could have cut out of that. For example, I'm not even going to go there. I'm just going to go on to the fact that Batman died twice, at least, maybe 3 times, but definitely twice. When he does his Rocket J squirrel impersonation, his flying squirrel impersonation off of the building, off the police station, and he hits that bridge, he's dead. My man's died. My man died. He's dead. Like, he got so I don't care how much Kevlar you got on. Like, he took that hit off the bridge, slammed off the truck, rolled around about 15, 17 times, slammed. He was dead. Dead. I don't care how tough you are, how much Kevlar you got on, unless that built-in defibrillator. I don't think that suit had the built-in defibrillator as some other ones, but nah, he's dead. They'd have to shock his heart a whole bunch of times to get him to survive that. And if he didn't die, all his bones was broke. There was no way he was walking away from that. And then he's right in front of the one of the 800 crooked cops who had the bomb in his mouth. And that blew up inches, like he's a foot away from dude. And the bomb goes off, and somehow his face wasn't burned. He had his cheeks weren't even red from the heat. Like, come on, man. He's dead from that, too. He got a bomb blown up in his face. He's dead. He didn't, you know, like he didn't turn his magic cape to cover his face and protect him. He took a bomb a foot away from the face. Blew him straight backwards, and somehow he ain't die, bruh. He did. That was death number two, and then death number three happened somewhere. I'm trying to remember. Probably during that car chase scene, which was good, but it went too long. The Batmobile chase with Penguin went too long. It was really good. And then it was just, I was like, this is going on a little too long now, especially after like 8,000 bullets got pumped into that car. After a while, when you're a Penguin, you're just not going to shoot anymore. Like, you see the bullets are doing nothing. And unless you're just that bad at aiming, either you're going to stop shooting because you realize you can't shoot and you should stop wasting ammo. Or you realize, all these bullets I've pumped into this car aren't doing anything. So again, I'm going to stop wasting expensive ammo. How did I feel about Joker being introduced? Well, we're not 100% sure it's Joker. I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be Joker. There are some people who are saying that he could be Two-Face as well. But with that laugh was terrible. terrible Joker laugh. I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be Joker. I think it's actually a cool way to introduce him as someone who's already been captured, someone who's already in Arkham, and Joker is, you know, look, he's the lead, he's the big bad of Batman's rogue of villains, and Joker has manipulated and controlled pretty much every single one of, what, deleted scene? No, I didn't see a deleted scene. But Joker has, you know, manipulated, controlled, and used pretty much every Batman villain throughout the books. So having him talking to Riddler and kind of establishing an alliance there, which we know that Joker is going to roll his way, I think that's cool. I would like to see more of that. And honestly, if there's another movie where Joker turns Riddler into more of a comic Riddler, where he's in the, you know, the suit jacket with the question mark hat, and he's a little more playful, but still, you know, a diabolical psychopath, I would like to see that. That would be cool. Best Joker laugh, Jay. That's Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill for sure. Cesar Romero, number two. He had Cesar Romero's Joker laugh was fantastic. But Mark Hamill's Joker laugh is just so good. And it's not fair, because you can do so much with animation that you just can't do live action. So when you mix that laugh with the animation that they did in Batman the Animated Series, it's not fair, to be perfectly honest. But to me, the best, so if we're going live action laugh, I would say Cesar Romero's laugh is great, because even though the 66 Batman was very campy, Cesar Romero's Joker laugh was creepy. It was like, it was a crazy person's laugh. And there's an excellent scene in the Batman movie where Frank Gorshin as Riddler and Cesar Romero as Joker are just like doing each of their laughs at each other. They just sound like a couple crazy people who are laughing at their crazy crime. It's a little chilly. And then these crazy people laughing at each other. Cesar had a great laugh, very underrated. But Mark Hamill's is so good. It's my dream Batman movie, and I've said this and I'll say this until I'm sure it will never happen, unless I somehow come up with millions of dollars to produce the movie myself. But to me, the perfect Batman movie has Mark Hamill voicing the Joker and Kevin Conroy voicing Bruce Wayne / Batman. And just you give those characters the Darth Vader treatment. You let other people do the physical acting, and you put the amazing voices over it, and I think you can knock it out of the park. It would be tough to replicate, but if you're going to do a Batman one-off, that's going to be like the Batman movie of Batman movies, that's what I would do. Personally, I would be interested in a Joker Jason Todd storyline, as would I. It's particularly because I didn't like how they did it with Titans. They teased a bit, and the Titans Jason Todd, to me, just, I didn't vibe with him. Just, yeah, there's a whole bunch of words I shouldn't say as a Christian, how I feel about the Titans Jason Todd, so I'm not going to say those words, but I wasn't a big fan of how they portrayed that Jason Todd. But that will be a great story to see, especially because this is a darker, well, everything they've been doing with Batman has been dark, but this movie was dark too. This movie was a really dark movie. I wish they could have made it a little lighter. Like, these Batman movies are so dark, it's hard to see things at times. And I'm kind of getting sick and tired of not being able to see anything in a Batman movie. Half of that seems to be the okie doke. Like, hey, pay this money to go see this Batman movie, but you can't actually see half of anything. I'm not a fan of that. That's not fun. But Joker Jason Todd storyline would be fantastic. And the problem is with where they're starting here as so early in Batman, it would take a bit to get to a point where you're at the second Robin. Did I like the Batmobile chase scene? Yeah, I did, Termy. I don't know if you missed it earlier. I did like the chase scene. It just went a little too long for my liking. The scene went really well, but I felt it dragged a bit, which there was a lot of things in this movie that dragged, which is why it was 3 hours long. That could have been cut down. It was really good, and then I was like, okay, we get it. Okay, we get it. Like, let's end this chase scene already. It just went a little long. But that was probably one of the best parts of the movie, was that chase scene. I did not like how stalkerish and flirty. Not flirty, but like, it wasn't like flirty, but how, like, one, he was like stalking Catwoman, and then how they had the dialogue like allude to the potential romance between them. We're in year two, Batman, he's not thinking about smashing nobody. He's not thinking about relationship. Like, he's not thinking that. Yeah, watching her get changed, like, you know, I was like, bro, man, what is with this creepy stalker stuff, man? But like, that's so, like, when she said, darn it, I forget the line, but she said some line. She was like, about, you don't care what happens to me, do you? And most Batman, like, even Batman the Animated Series, Batman would have been like, no. Even if he meant something different, like, he would have had that veneer on. And he was just so soft around here, and that's not Batman. Especially out, like, on the job, he is focused on the task at hand. He's not, you know, getting distracted by a woman. Now, eventually, yes, she breaks him down, but that takes years for Selina to break down Bruce emotionally, and where he becomes vulnerable with her, where she really starts to distract him, you know. And also, part of what's great about Selina and Bruce/Batman is that they interact on both levels. So it'd have been great if they went out on a date as Bruce and Selina to further break him down, so that if you were going to show him being softer, you know, showing more concern than Batman normally would when he's in the mask, it makes sense, because they got this connection as Batman and Catwoman, and as Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle, but they didn't show that. So there wasn't organic attraction there, in my opinion. Yeah, I don't. It did seem like they were contractually obligated to make it that long, because it dragged out. It really did, and also it was just like, Riddler keeps taking these guys and doing the same thing to them, pretty much taping something to somebody's mouth. Either it's a rat or it's a bomb, or like, it didn't seem like there was much variance in them. You know, and part of the fun, I guess, for lack of a better term, of comic book villains, in my personal opinion, is that some of the other things are just outlandish and ridiculous, which was one thing that was great about Ledger's Joker, is that his plan was absolutely outrageous and ludicrous, and it was a very comic booky plan. And for Riddler to be kidnapping and killing these people, if he'd have done them in multiple, more creative ways, that would have been at least a bit more interesting, except for just doing repeating pretty much the same method. He kind of rinsed and repeated. But, you know, he could have had, you know, one guy blown up, one guy, you know, found in the bay or something. Like, there could have been so much more creative ways done. And I just thought that they kind of rinsed and repeated a bit too much with certain things. They kind of merge Bruce and Batman well in the comics, so they are so different apart. I know a lot of these newer books are some different reimaginings compared to what Batman has been for pretty much since the 80s. So there's been like a 30-year run of Batman that became really popular that most people are lean towards enjoying. And some of these newer ones are kind of going away from that. And, you know, I'm okay with depicting some of these newer stories. I just think movie-wise, sometimes those things don't translate well to the screen. I really think that him being so emo is a detriment to the story where, the fact that the Waynes were corrupt. I think when you have this emo Batman, you expect him to look all sad and depressed and stuff, but where you have this Batman, who's, a bit brooding, but he's also being the playboy philanthropist in public with Bruce Wayne. And he believes that his parents were good people. Then he finds out the truth, and then that hard veneer that had been so stoic and rock solid that had been so steady and steadfast, then that breaks into someone who's clearly in pain. I think that's a better portrayal than the revelation that your parents were bad people, but you already looked like you knew that already because you were always looking sad and depressed and forlorn. I don't feel any emotion of you there because you always look like your parent. You knew your parents were terrible people or messed up with the mob or whatever. So that's another reason why emo Batman just did not work for me. And again, I went into this movie with high hopes. I went to the movie with hopes that this would become my number two Batman movie with The Mask of Phantasm still being to me the best Batman movie. And I was going to this movie hoping that R. Pat would become my number two Batman behind Michael Keaton. I unfortunately didn't get that. And I'll say this, I did not like Andy Serkis as Alfred. I didn't like it. I don't like how they have used Alfred in a lot of these movies. I didn't buy him as Alfred. I don't know if it's the combination of his look, how they wrote this Alfred, the fact that this Alfred didn't do much. I wasn't digging this Alfred at all. I wasn't feeling. I thought I wasn't feeling Jeremy Irons' Alfred. I really was not feeling Andy Serkis' Alfred at all. And I don't think it's anything to do with Serkis. I think it's purely how the character was written. Because Serkis, I think he's a fantastic actor. Well, you know what? I appreciate you saying that, Jay. I actually do have a podcast. I've got two podcasts. One is on pro wrestling. It's called Breaking Ring Rust. And the other podcast is called the Original Geek Podcast, where we talk about all things sports and all things geek. So we talk about comic books. We talk about movies. We talk about video games. We talk about the NBA, the NFL, sometimes some Major League Baseball, sometimes some hockey, sometimes some track and field, Olympics. My man Unique DNA, he's my co-host. He was visiting in the chat earlier, but that's a podcast that we've been doing since 2015. Got a new episode dropping Friday at noon. So if you search Geek JEEK Nation, Geek Nation, you'll find both our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Spotify is probably the best because sometimes we'll do polls or our Q&A questions within Spotify, but definitely check it out. I would love for you to listen to some episodes and interact with us. And I that you're such a compliment, Jay. I really appreciate it because I'm passionate about my fandoms. A lot of people sometimes don't like my hearing my reviews because I can be a harsh critic, but I'm not a harsh critic for the purpose of being a dick. I'm a harsh critic because I love the things that I love. So like if I break it down and I like critique it really to a granular level, that means I really like, it's something I really like. It's a subject or topic I'm really into, and I examined it on that much of a level because it's something that I really like, I really value, and it means something to me. So sometimes I come off as just like a negative dick, but I'm not trying to do that. Trust me, I'm not trying to do that. But sometimes I can sound like that, and I'm aware. I'm trying to get better at presenting the fact that I'm not being negative. I'm not just trying to trash things. I am trying to give an objective view on things. So that's pretty much, that's not a nutshell, but that's pretty much how I feel about the Batman. Lots of room for improvement. I understand where Matt Reeves was going, and I appreciate the direction he was going. I just wish we had a different actor in as Batman. I wish they would have really given more for Zoe to establish herself as Selina. But the gangsters were great with between Turturro with Falcone, and like I said, Colin Farrell did a fantastic job as Gangster Penguin. So I have there's no knocks on, like that. That was probably the most perfect portrayal within the movie was Gangster Penguin. I'm just not personally a big fan of Gangster Penguin, but Farrell just did an amazing job. And Paul Dano, I know I kind of briefly mentioned, but Paul Dano, I don't like everything they did with the Riddler, but he killed it. Like he did a fantastic job. He was creepy as heck. His delivery, he looked like a crazy person. He did a great job with what they gave him to do. And I'll say that about the entire cast. And they did wonderfully with what they were given. I just don't like everything that they were given. Well, this is one of those few movies where I can't look at the actors and say, you messed that up, or like I can look at the Nolan movies, I can look at Christian Bale and just go on to town on why I think Bale is like the worst Batman. Because of that, something from Christian Bale. But I can't look at any of these actors in this film and say, you screwed up, you dropped the ball. I can tell that they did great with what they were given. So that definitely helps the movie in a lot of ways because, you know, the actors can only do what the director directs them to do and the writers have written for them to say. So if I had to give the Batman a rating, I don't even have a rating system. Thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate you saying I've got good points. I try to be objective because as a fan, I want to be objective because I know there's people who feel differently, who like different aspects, and they want to see characters change and develop, where I have no problem admitting I'm a sucker for good nostalgia. So, you know, if it's tried and true and good, I am not opposed to seeing tried and true be executed more perfectly. So, you know, but if I had to rate this movie, I'm going to just have to make up a rating system here. I hate odd numbers, so I'm going to rate out of 6. I'm going to get a 3.8 out of 6. 3.8 out of 6. The length the emo Batman being a big killer, the length being a big killer, and the fact that he died like three times, those were just like those were big. The other things are more preference. The other thing is the repetitiveness. The repetitiveness of how Riddler killed, the repetitiveness of, oh, here's another clue, that's another greeting card that Batman and Jim Gordon are going to confer over, you know, 3-4 times throughout the movie. That those repetitive parts, you know, I wasn't vibing the repetitiveness that also drug the movie out. So 3.8 out of 6 will be my rating for the Batman. Room for improvement. It did great, so I pick up to them. They did great in the box office, and I'm hoping the next movie will be more polished, and maybe we can get a shift in development with Batman. I would really like to see it. The second movie really solidify things, because Pattinson's young enough. Because I think he's younger than me. I have no idea how old our Pat is, but he looks young. He could be 45. But he might be a vampire for all I know. How old is our Pat? He is younger than me. He was born in 1986. So he's not even 40 years old yet. He can definitely have a nice long run as Batman, 35 years old. He can have a nice run as Batman, and I'm all for it. You know, I'm all for it. I would just like some better, just a little bit better on the writing, a little crisper on the execution. You make that 3-hour movie 2.5 hours. You make it a little easier to see and not as repetitive, and I would probably be giving the movie more of a 4.5. Than a 3.8. Like, there's maybe even a 5, because the other things, points I would have would be more of the personal preference of my preferred Batman compared to portrayal of any Batman, because this was a portrayal of Batman, just in a lot of ways not my preferred Batman. So it could actually be like a 5 out of 6 without, slightly with some better writing and some more polish to certain things. So yeah, that's where I am on the Batman. Appreciate you asking, Charmy. I was going to do this, have this, do a solo episode of my podcast talking about the Batman. But, if I do, I'm just going to reference this for my notes. That way I don't have to write out my show notes anymore. I've already got my points and stuff taken care of. Oh, man. Well, I could use the audio from the stream. I mean, you're not wrong. I could. You know what? I might. I might just use the audio from this stream and just post it as a bonus episode, and just be my spoiler review of the Batman. That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea at all. There's a lot I have to go over because I've been watching Winning Time on HBO Max, and I've been watching the NBA playoffs, of course, and I'm excited. I need to catch up on Star Trek Picard. I need to watch the new Star Trek, which is Brave New World, something like that. I need to talk about Moon Knight. I watched that season finale. I don't know if it's a series finale, season or series finale on Wednesday or Thursday. I watched that. just started watching Clone Wars. I need to watch more Clone Wars. I started watching it. I need to finish it. Because I was grown when the Clone Wars started, and I didn't get to, like, my kids watch some of it. I really didn't have the opportunity to watch a lot of it, so I'm really behind on that series. I haven't watched Bad Batch because I know I need to watch Clone Wars to get an understanding, more understanding of Bad Batch, and I didn't read a lot of the books from that part of the story, so I have a lot of catching up to do there. I got the Warriors over the Grizzlies. I think the Warriors, just their experience, is just going to be too much for the Grizz. The Grizz have a lot of talent. They got a lot of size, and I love how they play rough and tumble. Like, most of their players are some old school ballers as far as how their style of play. I'm an old school Pistons fan from the 80s, like rough and tumble, old school smash mouth. You go into the paint, you're going to get punished style of basketball. That's how I grew up. That's, the type of basketball that I particularly love. So I love watching the Grizzlies play. They've been a smash mouth, grind it out, hustle, defense first, rebounding type team since Zach Randolph and Marcus Saul, and they've been a rough and tumble team. I like that. So I like that they're in it. I like that they're getting good, but the Warriors, too much experience, too much shooting, too much championship medal already on that team. And the Grizzlies, I don't think they have enough amongst the team experience or even their coaching experience to overcome that advantage that the Warriors have. But it is going to be a fun series. I didn't think the Grizz were going to get swept at all. Some people were calling for a sweep after game one. I didn't see that. But I do think that it's going to go six, and I think the Warriors win in six. Ja is a clone copy of D. Rose. Ja and Derrick Rose are very similar, very hyper-athletic point guards. Ja, not great shooters. Ja's difference between Ja and D. Rose is just their movement. D. Rose was so herky-jerky, which is why I think his knees blew. Ja is not as herky-jerky of movement, especially getting to the rack. So I don't think he'll have the same injury concerns. But their style of game is definitely very serious. Definitely very similar. Explosive, fast guards who can get to the cup, throw down, unafraid to put it down on anybody. Very similar. I don't know how conducive that style of play is to winning a championship, however. As good as D. Rose was prior to getting hurt, I didn't think they were going to challenge for the championship. And I think the Grizz need some more shooting to challenge for the championship. They've got the height. They've got the defensive grind. They do need Ja to play some better defense. He's not a good defender. And they need him, and they need some people to shoot better. But they get a little bit more shooting, and Ja shoots better. And he can stay on the court because he missed, I think, 20 games. I mean, that's a quarter of the season he pretty much missed. He stays on the court. He stays healthy. They're going to be a very scary team in the next couple of years, and they could challenge for the championship in a few years. They add some shooting, and he starts, he improves his shooting and starts playing some better defense. Grizzlies are good. But I think the Suns beat whoever comes out the East this year. They should have won last year, in my personal opinion. But I think the Suns get it done. I think CP3 gets a championship and solidifies himself as a top five point guard of all time. Still not better than Magic. Still not better than Zeke. Still not better than the Big O. But top five, absolutely. Yeah, you want Jay? It's funny you say that because there's rumors that Mike D'Antoni is being considered for the Charlotte Hornets job, and some people are like, "Well, that means that they don't want to win." And while it makes sense to make that statement because D'Antoni hasn't won or even got to the finals, I believe that you can win with any play style, should you have the personnel to win with that play style. And you've got to be a lot better to win with certain play styles than others. And the Warriors won with a jump shooting play style that was not successful for any other team pretty much since the beginning of the NBA. They are the first jump shooting team to win the NBA championship, where everyone else was predicated on taking the ball to the basket. And they are the first team to be a jump shooting team to win the chip. And then, they got KD and they overloaded on the talent. But no one else has won a championship as jump shooters. So, but you always needed a couple shooters, but all jump shooters, that was unique. But they were able to win with that. And I believe the Grizzlies can win with their play style. I just think they need a slight upgrade in shooting. Between Ja and another wing, and I really think that's the big. I think that will help, you know, and some more experiencing the playoff basketball, experiencing the grind, understanding that, you know, you have to change your level of intensity, how you grind, how the pace of the game come playoff time compared to the regular season, but that experience pretty much just comes with doing it and being there. And I think that experience, getting some of that experience this year, will really help elevate them. And if they can get a little bit more shooting, try to improve the shooting, then there's not much really to stand in the Grizzlies' way of making a run at the championship. And I can say the same about the Miami Heat as well. I think the Miami Heat will represent the East in the finals this year. I don't think the Bucks are going to be able to outlast this time, especially if Chris Middleton continues to be out for an extended period of time. They need Middleton. As great as Giannis is, they need Middleton, because Grayson Allen is not going to be able to sustain, you know, 20 points a game. That's just, he ain't that dude. So, you know, plus, I hate Grayson Allen, though. I don't believe in him. Duke players don't like Grayson Allen. He's a dirty player. Don't like him. I think the Celtics have a chance to beat the Bucks. My pick is actually the Celtics in seven. Once Middleton got hurt against the Bulls, I did not think that they were going to go past the second round. I think the Celtics will beat the Bucks in seven, and I think the Celtics will fall to the Heat, and the Heat will play the Suns in the finals. The Heat are just, and the reason is that with Middleton, the Bucks are just very dangerous because, you know, Middleton's such a good shooter. He can be cold, and all of a sudden, you know, he hits his shot, he gets in rhythm, and he's got 20. Giannis has 30 and 12 and 5. You get some offense out of Lopez, and you get 15 and 10 out of Drew Holiday, and the Bucks are going to win. 15 and 10 out of Drew, 20 and, you know, 6 out of Middleton, and, you know, 25, 30 out of Giannis. And that's always a winning recipe for the Bucks. Without Middleton, you just have a big hole there, and you'd have to continually be able to find someone to fill that hole. I don't think Grayson Allen's that dude. I don't think Pat Connaughton's that dude. I don't think Bobby Portis is enough to do that. I don't think Brook Lopez is going to be able to put up enough buckets to do that. He's not a young dude anymore. And Drew would have to really up his scoring efforts. And as much as I like Drew Holiday, he's not Philadelphia 76ers Drew Holiday anymore. He's not even New Orleans Pelicans Drew Holiday anymore. He's getting older. He's not there anymore. So I think that is a big hole for the Bucks to fill. And the Celtics are deep. Tatum and Brown and the emergence of Robert Williams, Marcus Smart playing fantastic basketball. They're really good. Horford playing like he's a young man. I don't know how Al Horford's still playing the way he's playing, but he is, and they're deep, and they have really good balance, and that's what also makes Miami, even if the Bucks would get past the Celtics, that's what makes Miami so scary, is that they're just so deep. They're consistently having four or five guys scoring double digits between Butler, Adebayo, Tyler Hero. They got Oladipo right before the end of the season, and Depo has played well. They haven't really even been using Duncan Robinson just because I don't think his game is a great fit against Philly. But everyone knows Duncan has that J, and he can put up a whole bunch of buckets. They should actually get Kyle Lowry back soon. So there's just so much balance for Miami. And if Miami gets healthier as they go along and goes more to full strength, then it doesn't matter. The rest of the East is just in trouble. Because if they can get Kyle Lowry back and they have Jimmy Butler playing well, you got Tyler Hero, you got Bam Adebayo, you got Victor Oladipo, you got Duncan Robinson, and these other guys, they're really deep and very well-balanced team, and they're going to be extremely tough to beat. And Coach Spo is just coaching fantastically, easily becoming, especially if they win, he's already got them to another championship, but he's had five finals appearances now as head coach. He'll probably get a sixth this year, and if he wins, I don't think they'll win the championship this year, though. I think that's still Phoenix, but if they make it there, there's another shot, and I think Spo will win another championship as a coach, and also solidify himself as a top level all time coach. So you got to give it to him. He's done great. Pat Riley disciple, knows what he's doing. Players believe in him. They buy into the Miami Heat system, the Miami Heat culture, and it's been working. So my pick is Miami, but I do think the Celtics have a chance to beat the Bucks. Absolutely. Oh man, well, I would love to keep going tonight, but it is 12:30 a.m. Eastern Time. I do have to be up at 6 a.m. because I still do have to work. I will be working from home, so at least I don't have to worry about getting showered and getting dressed, but I do got to get up in time to be a boss. Quiet discussion. Well, yeah, thank you, Jeremy. And actually, this is how my podcast, my podcast goes. It's very similar. Subjects will be sports related, geek related. We talk about, we have a section called Copper Drop where we talk about, what sneakers we would cop or which ones we would drop. We have a section called the Reboot Police where we talk about, movie or TV show reboots that, we think are good ideas or not good ideas. This discussion, comic book movies, sports, this is exactly what they are. What platform do my podcasts on? So platforms are Apple Podcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, which is probably the best one because we do put some interactive things on the Spotify. And our host is Anchor, which is owned by Spotify. So there's that additional part. Castbox, Stitcher, there's a whole bunch, but those are like the bigger ones where you can, Pandora, you can find us on Pandora. You can find us on Amazon, Music on those, cause they've got podcasts there too. Yeah. So there's a lot, all those big ones you can find us on. And again, you can just search the word Jeek, J-E-E-K, which is a word I coined, just Jock plus Geek, Jeek, J-E-E-K, Jeek Nation, two words. And you'll find our pro wrestling show, Breaking Ring Rust, and you'll find the original Jeek podcast. And that's our sports plus geek show. Like I said, episode dropping in less than 12 hours. And I'll be talking in that episode. Me and my homegirl will be talking about. We'll be talking about Kobe Bryant. There is actually a copper drop section in that episode, and we'll be talking about inside the documentary about Inside the NBA. And some other things, but those are our primary things we'll be talking about on tomorrow's episode. But I got to call it a night. Thank you so much, Termy, Jay, for engaging so much in chat with me tonight, and obviously for sticking in. My man Unique DNA, my man Lee, for coming in as well, for lurking, anyone who coming through, and of course Jay and Flaming Gold, thank you for the new follows today, appreciate it. I'm trying to get to that that affiliate status, and you two in the interaction helping drive up the viewer count will definitely help my viewer average, so I really really appreciate it, and I both appreciate your interest in checking out my podcast. You're a great streamer. I'll check out the podcast. Can't wait for the next stream. Well, thank you so much for that, Jay. Your kind words resonate. I really appreciate it. I enjoy gaming. I enjoy, you know, interacting with people. So I'm so glad to have you as part of my streamer community and hopefully soon my podcast community. And we have my group, my podcast, we have a Facebook group. If you're on Facebook and like to interact on social media, we have a Facebook group called For Jeek Nation, and where, you know, people are comfortable throwing out nerd stuff and sports stuff, because most nerd groups on Facebook don't want to hear about sports, and most sports groups don't want to hear about anime, and they don't want to hear about comic books and all the nerd stuff. And Jeek Nation community is a place for both of those things. So feel free to check that out. There's always a link in the show notes to our community and, to our social medias and stuff out there, but definitely check us out. And I can't wait to interact with you on the next stream, where I will continue this journey in Detroit Become Human. And for those who are just watching and, you know, and kind of lurking, again, I'm your boy, Rocky Mr. Magic, your favorite Black Christian streamer, podcaster, lover of all things sports, all things geek. Until next time, love, peace, and hair grease. I'm out.
Ready to make an entrance, so back with cut.
Come on,
cut for me.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, slow down. Whoa, speed up.
is DJ What, and you're listening to the original Geek Podcast.